It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Here we go!
There's only four words.
This is something something Broncos.
This one's for Pat!
Let's go! Guys, this is not the
song. There's only one person that carries the ball right here.
Yeah. Tim Tebow back in the system.
Good third!
Oh, my God.
Denver's got a touchdown.
Picked off by the Broncos.
Picked off!
The old pro Justin Simmons.
Can we hit and share?
Featuring Mike DeCicco. And Jess Place.
Let's go, Tom! Let's go!
Welcome to Something Something Broncos.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Something Something Broncos. I am joined this evening by Chris Hart. Mike DeCicco is out on assignment, although he'll be here tomorrow when we record our regular scheduled Something Something Broncos. Chris! How are you doing?
Good. It's Monday after an extravaganza of draft day coverage from Mile High Report. 3 days. The Broncos made a lot of moves. They're a better team than they were on Thursday morning before we started picking players. So we're here to talk about that. So I've got your questions whenever you have them. So I'm ready to go.
Well, first of all, draft grades. What did you think? How did we do? Is it an A plus? A minus? What do you think?
Let me just preface this with saying I think that draft grades are kind of just weird to do because we can grade on maybe how we address needs during the draft, but we haven't seen these guys play for the Broncos yet. But as far as getting a future franchise quarterback, hopefully, in Bo Nix, that's a good thing. Getting another edge rusher in the room with Jonah Ellis, that's a good thing. Moving up, like I had said, with you and Lori Lattimore Volkman on the podcast before day two, the Broncos were going to move up for a wide receiver in the fourth round, and they absolutely did. I had
Wait, who did they get? Who did they get?
Troy Franklin.
Isn't that the guy that you said they were going to trade up to get?
No, I said that I said that they were going to trade up for Javon Baker in my draft, but don't be surprised with Troy Franklin being on the board if he was preferred just based on the Oregon connections. So in my mock, I had a different player, but I didn't believe that Franklin was going to be there. I thought he was a late day two player, perhaps even early as the late second round. So in my mock draft mind, I had no belief that he would be there. So for the Broncos to get Oregon's most productive receiver that has chemistry with Bo Nix, that's awesome. Then after that, it would have been the fifth round. I think I can't remember who was first, whether it was Chris Abrams-Drain or Audric Estime, but both those guys, getting the cornerback and the running back, I said they would upgrade the secondary, and I was adamant about them drafting a running back, and they did that. And then with the seventh round selections, they picked the kid out of Utah, Devon Vele, and then Nick Gargiulo, who used to play at Yale, but then was center for the Gamecocks, snapping to Spencer Rattler last year. So, they addressed a lot of needs. So I guess as far as the grade, I think on the site, I wrote that I gave them an A, but we'll just have to wait and see how it pans out. But as far as getting a quarterback, an edge rusher, a running back, a wide receiver, good stuff. So I felt like being kind of low on picks and all that, they did is probably as good as anybody could have hoped for.
No, I think I froze there. I like blacked out for a minute. I heard about every third word. Just continue that thought, and I'll kind of jump in as though I was paying attention this whole time.
I was saying as far as addressing needs and a grade is concerned, I gave them an A on the website. As far as a preliminary grade, like I said, I really don't care much for doing draft grades immediately after it's ended, but I thought they did a good job of addressing the biggest needs on the team. That they came away with the quarterback, a wide receiver of the future, a running back of the future, an edge rusher to pair with Nick Bonino, Jonathan Cooper, and Baron Browning. Good stuff by the Broncos. I'm excited, and I hope that this class turns out to be one that we can look back a couple of years from now and be like, man, they really did it. It set the franchise forward and got them in a good position to win games.
We can hope, man. I mean, we can really hope. I like the picks. I like that we went quarterback, even though we've kind of been getting killed just because everyone's like, oh, we went too early. But there was the possibility we would have come away with no quarterback, and then we would be the Oakland Raiders or the Las Vegas Raiders. Boy, old habits die hard. Right. We'd be the Las Vegas Raiders. I was looking at an infographic of their current quarterback room, and it's not good. That could be us, and so thankfully that wasn't us. Brock Bowers was like their big splash selection in the first round, and so the Broncos didn't actually go tight end. Did that surprise you?
No, and see, and going back to previous podcasts that we had with Mike or Lori, podcast with Tim and I, and especially the one with Tim and I about 10 days before the draft. You know, I said if the quarterback run happened, and it did happen, and we knew that 1, 2, and 3 seemed very likely. Obviously, Michael Penix going to the Atlanta Falcons at 8 surprised everybody. I think that every GM in the league outside Terry Fontenot in Atlanta was like, holy shit. And I was never anti-Bo Nix when it came to the 12th overall selection. I actually mocked them to us putting the trade down because Denver needed capital and it seemed more amicable or favorable to the team to be able to get your quarterback a little bit later but pick up a pick. That's just kind of a draft nut like me wanting as many picks as possible. But as soon as the Vikings traded up for McCarthy with the Jets one spot to get him at 10, he kind of just felt it like, oh, the Broncos are going to go quarterback there. Okay, I think that Brock Bowers is going to be a great player. I hate that the Raiders took him, but I will take a franchise quarterback potentially over Brock Bowers 10 out of 10 times. That just seems like the smart decision for a team like Denver, who couldn't really risk the gambit or enter the gambit there and roll down in the draft, and all of a sudden Bo Nix is there. Then what are they going to do? The next quarterback that went in the draft was what, Spencer Rattler, like in the fifth round? Like there was like 150 picks went by before the next quarterback was taken. That's how little the NFL thought of this class after the top six guys. Jess?
I disappeared there again. I don't know what's happening with the internets. I think gremlins are out there. Sorry about that. One of the other things that happened was the signing of quite a few undrafted free agents. There were a few that caught your eye. Would you want to elaborate on them?
Yeah. Blake Watson out of Memphis, who played earlier collegiate football at Old Dominion. That's a sneaky good signing for the Broncos. I know that a lot of fans are comfortable with Samaje Perine, Javonte Williams, and Jaleel McLaughlin as the 1, 2, and 3. But with the Broncos drafting Audric Estime in the fifth round and then bringing in Blake Watson, that room officially got put on notice. Blake Watson is someone that a lot of guys like Dane Brugler, Lance Erlinger, a lot of top draft analysts thought could have been a mid-day three selection. So the Broncos were able to get him in UDFA and gave him one of the highest guaranteed amounts of money out of anyone in the entire league as far as the undrafted free agent goes. So that just goes to show you how much they think of him. And I like the fact that he's a former wide receiver turned running back. He's pretty slippery on the open field. He's great at catching the ball. I think he had like 51 catches last year. So obviously Sean Payton has an affinity for throwing passes to running backs in the scheme. Think of Darren Sproles, think of Alvin Kamara. And if he can become half the player either of those guys was in Sean's system, that's pretty good. The other guy that I think has a good shot to make the team would be Frank Crum, who's an offensive tackle out of Wyoming. He's 6'8", like 320 pounds. He ran like a 4.98, which is incredible. But with the whole relative athletic scoring type thing that's been coming out, advanced stuff on that, he was like the sixth highest graded offensive tackle as far as athleticism in the past 20 years. So if you're looking at someone to be a developmental offensive tackle next to Alex Palcheski, who they got last year, that's going to be a good battle. Frank Crum played right tackle for the first 4.5 seasons at Wyoming. But then this last one, he was a first team all Mountain West player. So that's a good thing. And then I think Omar Brown out of Nebraska, just kind of given the ambiguity in the defensive secondary with the Broncos, they've got a lot of names back there at the safety position. But for that maybe fourth or fifth spot, he could come in and surprise. I'm pretty familiar with him because he played a lot of ball at Northern Iowa. I'm a North Dakota State guy. I'm a Missouri Valley Football Conference guy. He did pretty well there, but this last year he transferred up into the big leagues and played for the Cornhuskers. And I think he started 8 out of 12 games for them and had quite a bit of production. So I think when you look at that on the surface, secondary coach Jim Leonard, who played in the league for a very long time as a safety, that was kind of his fingerprints will be on that. And hoping that maybe this could be the year that one of those guys surprises. Like Omar Brown and makes the secondary as undrafted free agent. But, you know, those are three guys that caught my eye. You just have to think about it. And you and I and Laurie had talked about it. And I was correct. Only one time in the last 20 years, the Broncos haven't had undrafted rookie free agent make the team. So odds are one of these guys is going to make it. And if I had to put money on it, if there's sports gambling out there for UDFA making team degeneracy, I would put $100 on Blake Watson making the Broncos squad and perhaps knocking Jaleel McLaughlin off the team. You know, there are a lot
Jaleel is the odd man out in your equation.
Well, quite honestly, I would not be surprised if Samaje Perine and him are both out. So Javonte Williams, you know, a couple of years ago against the Raiders suffered that catastrophic injury. And I think it's safe to say that nobody thought he was going to be the same player again. He and Audric Estime are sort of the same player as far as being guys who are just violent, guys who just get after it, who get yards after contact, things like that. So they're kind of the same player. And honestly, looking at it, just knowing that it's Williams's contract year, it kind of feels like the Broncos potentially drafted his replacement. Samaje Perine was really good for the Broncos last year. I was joking around on a podcast a couple days ago with you guys that he, as a screen catcher in the passing game, was probably some of the biggest highlights the Broncos had in offense all year. And it would be tough to let a veteran like that go because he's been a good player for a long time, backing up Joe Mixon. Giovanni Bernard was there in Cincinnati. He's just got a lot of football experience and knows what to do. But, I mean, underestimate if he stays healthy and wows at camp, I think one of those two guys could be gone. And my guess would just be Perine. But Jaleel McLaughlin.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Coming out of Youngstown State, I mean, he was a good player, undrafted player. He earned his way onto the 53-man final roster last year. But he's a little bit more undersized compared to Blake Watson. And the thing about these guys that are on the back end of teams looking to make a spot, he doesn't play special teams. He's not a returning guy. Blake Watson, during his career at Old Dominion, was a special teams returner. He was a kick returner. He was a punt returner. And he's also a little bit better in pass protection than Jaleel McLaughlin is right now. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of bold to say this. It's April 29th right now. Who could be on the bubble? But that room was put on notice by Sean Payton and his scouting staff and George Payton getting those guys into the room. That's might be a big statement to make, but I think it's completely possible.
So one thing that happened today that a lot of people may not have caught, the local Denver media was duped by, what is it, BJ West out of Alabama State, 5'5", 135 pounds, wide receiver. did you see that in our Slack chat room today?
I did see that, and I can say with 100% confidence, I've never even heard of the guy. And I've never seen him play. And I'm not here to dog on this BJ West kid as a player. I'm sure that he had some good highlights at Alabama State. But it would have surprised me to see Sean Payton sign like a 5'5", 146-pound guy. I mean, Darren Sproles was small, like at 5'7", but he was probably like 185, 190 pounds. I mean, he was pretty thick and had some muscle for being an undersized running back. But when I saw that, I was like, whoa. I mean, Mike Kliss got duped. Some kid on Broncos Avenue got duped. I don't know if they read a tweet that seemingly was out there from someone who just claimed that. But check your sources, man. Like, I mean, the UDFA stuff, like there's no need to try and be first on that. There's plenty of accounts out there. NFL Draft Diamonds, Twitter, Aaron Wilson, who's a prominent NFL writer. He's been the guy to go through. I mean, agents get a hold of that guy to be like, hey, our guy's signing with the Texans, or they're signing with the Broncos, or they're signing with this team. They've already got experts that cover that stuff. I mean, whew, yeah, getting that wrong, that ain't a good look. But
another thing that kind of it's kind of percolating out there in the ether, Courtland Sutton, there's some sort of smoke going on with in the Pittsburgh arena that they may be close to making some sort of acquisition, and they are very hopeful it's Courtland Sutton. What do you think?
I honestly don't know what to think, because we're now on a multi-year trek of off-season news, rumors, musings, and fodder that Courtland Sutton, you know, should I stay or should I go now? Like, do we have any clue? I mean, he balled out with Russ last year. They had a great connection in the vertical game down the field. Pittsburgh's kind of got several guys like that already on their roster, but it wouldn't be surprising, given their connection, that could happen. It's just, I look at the state of the Broncos roster, and yes, they drafted Troy Franklin, who I'm really high on, but he is not an X receiver like Courtland Sutton is. So, I mean, those listening, if we want to talk a little bit of scheme right here, right now, obviously the X guy is going to be on the boundary, lined up on the line of scrimmage. These are going to be your bigger, they're going to be your more physical caliber wide receivers. Tim Patrick is the same way. They're both like 6'4", 205 pounds. Troy Franklin is 6'1", and 7'8", and if he's 190 pounds, I'd be surprised. But he's going to be lined up on what we would call at the Z wide receiver spot, which is going to be off the line of scrimmage on the same, you know, mostly the same side as the tight end, what we would call in the flanker role. And there was so much freaking chaos on Twitter. What's Troy Franklin going to play? Who's he going to be? I don't like the pick because we don't have a role for him. Lo and behold, at the presser, they asked that question to Sean Payton. He's like, we see him as a Z receiver. And it's like, no shit, man. Like, if you don't think a player is going to be physical enough to play the X because they lack that sort of physicality at the line of scrimmage, there's really other two options you have. You can go and play Z, play flanker, or you can be lined up in the slot to help mitigate those issues. And for Z, being off the line of scrimmage a couple yards, being able to be put in motion and kind of getting that head start against the cornerback that's opposite of you, it makes the most sense. But sorry, that was kind of long-winded to get back to your question on Courtland Sutton. Man, I don't know, but I think it's a bad idea because then really the only X receiver that you have on offense right now for the Denver Broncos is Tim Patrick, who I think that we all love and are very appreciative of for how he came in from Utah as an undrafted free agent and worked his way up from the bottom of the mat to being a pretty darn good receiver for the Broncos. He's had back-to-back season-ending injuries the past 2 years. I want him to make the team. I want to have him see a comeback player of the year type year for the Broncos. I want to see him win that award. But can we honestly say we can rely on Tim Patrick to do that, given the fact that he's had two, you know, injury plague seasons that ended early? I don't know. I think the Broncos, it would be bad business for them that they just got a potentially franchise quarterback to get rid of, as of now, the top receiving option on the team. I'm very high on Marvin Mims. I'm very high on Troy Franklin. I think that little Jordan Humphrey, you know, just his knowledge with Sean Payton and the experience that he has with him and what we saw at the tail end of last year connecting with Jared Stidham, that dude's got some moves for how big he is. I like Brandon Johnson, who's, I think, Chad Ochocinco's cousin. I mean, he's an interesting guy, but none of those guys in the room, with the exception of Tim Patrick, has the experience, has the battle-tested game prowess of Courtland Sutton. So I think at this point in time, moving a receiver that can really help out your young quarterback for a fourth-round pick or a fifth-round pick, it just seems desperate and dumb. We'll see. I wouldn't do it. You know, in our Slack chats, our talks amongst staff, maybe, and this was before Judy was traded, maybe if you got a third-round pick for him, maybe. Judy's gone, and I just went over the whole entire room. It's a no for me, dog. I'm like, nah, get that out of here. Yeah, keep Sutton on the team because if you want to
I love it.
You're good. Jess might be having technical difficulties again.
I don't know what is going on. There must be sunspots or the Walton Penners are angry at us.
It's the aliens
jamming our signals. It's probably all of the above, but I think that's a sign that we should probably wrap it up. But it's been a great weekend. I'm excited to see what happens. I'm filled with this little kernel of like optimism, which is nice to have again. We'll see if it is self-extinguishing before the season starts. It very well could be. It probably will be. But any closing thoughts you'd like to share, Hart?
I just like to say, you know, we're kind of whole new to the streaming on multiple platforms and going live at the same time thing, but I see in the comment section, we do have a couple people, DeAndre Weatherspoon, on Facebook. Thank you for commenting and for watching. They said, I love this draft, which is awesome. It looks like John Pre62 on Twitch. That is damn. Wow. Baby Bus is a beast. And I'm guessing that he's referring to fifth round running back draft pick Audric Estime, who was built like a tank. I was calling him the tank in our Slack chat. And it looks like Clayton Heron said, smash that like button and share, guys. Denver Broncos for life, baby. Absolutely nailed the draft. Hey, I agree. I think that getting Bo Nix is going to be good for the franchise. I like Jonah Ellis coming out of Utah. I thought he was more of an early day three guy, but Vance Joseph is going to have the time of his life with Nick Bonito, Jonah Ellis, Jonathan Cooper, Baron Browning. Who knows what they'll do with Drew Sanders, but he has so much speed, flexibility, versatility at that edge position. A lot of those guys lack length, but what they don't lack is speed, bend at the line of scrimmage, get off at the line of scrimmage. Denver blitzed at a very, very, very high rate compared to their NFL peers last year. But when you have guys like this, let's hope that they're getting after the quarterback. And on top of that, we didn't mention it, but probably the most underrated acquisition the Broncos made all of the draft was trading a 2026 sixth-round selection to get John Franklin Myers from the New York Jets. And then people are saying, well, if he was so good, why did they get rid of him? They've spent so much money in free agency upgrading their defensive line. They've drafted so many guys on their front. He was really the odd man out after signing a 40 or $55 million contract a couple of years ago. So he renegotiated his deal to get with the Broncos. So I think Mike Klissett reported it's more like 2 years, $15 million now, so about $7.5 million the next two seasons. But the Broncos finally have a legitimate starting defensive end opposite of Zach Allen, who can also kick inside on passing downs. So that was great to see, because I know that you guys saw me in the Slack chat, and then we had talked about it on the podcast with Lori. Like, I was crushed that some of my favorite prospects went off the board like in the first 15 picks of the second round. I'm like, oh shit, Broncos aren't going to be able to pick anyone at 76. But long term, some of those guys are going to have more impact for their team that got drafted, obviously, in the second round for the franchises. But in the short term, the Broncos got a really good defensive line player who's going to upgrade that unit immediately this year. And that's going to help out those pass rushers that they've drafted over the past couple of years. So I'm excited for it. I guess that would be my closing statement. We've got a lot more time ahead of us, I guess, as far as going over the roster and seeing who's who, what's what, and where's where. But the Broncos are a better team than they were Thursday morning. Like I said at the beginning of the show, fans should be optimistic about Bo Nix. The things that people knock him for, not having the best arm, being 24 years old, etc., that doesn't even matter anymore, because if there is a prospect that honestly fit that Peyton archetype in the draft, being highly intelligent, being a quick processor, being able to work those short and intermediate routes, it was Bo Nix. And I think some of Broncos country maybe being like, I really didn't like the pick. It's just because we didn't get a Caleb Williams, or we didn't get a Drake May, or we didn't get a Jalen Daniels. But the Broncos never, I can't ever say never say never, but would you rather have Bo Nix right now at 12, or would you rather given up three more years of first round picks to get a guy who could potentially do worse than Nix with Sean Payton? It's too early to know, but right now the Broncos, outside of a couple of mid-round selections in 25 and 26, they've got a full slate of picks and $100+ million to spend in free agency next season if they want to go wild, if they want to surround Bo Nix with the talent possible to get the Broncos back from the bottom of the AFC West to hopefully the top. So there's a lot of football left to be played. There is so much uncertainty. But I think one thing's for certain, Broncos fans, by and large, are happy again. This draft maybe shook off 8 years of rust, sadness, and depression that we've all experienced post-Super Bowl 50. So welcome to the Broncos, the 2024 draft class. Welcome to Denver. Welcome to Broncos country. Everyone at Mile High Report's rooting for you. Everyone that's watching the stream right now or listening to this podcast, we all want you to succeed. So come in, work your hardest. Bring the right attitude. Help make this team good again, please. That's all I could ask. Do your absolute best.
Yes. And most importantly, we want you to
having the time of his life.
Have the time of your life. So for Chris Hart, I am Jess Place. Thank you so much for tuning in, and be sure to subscribe to MH Broncos Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter so you can catch us when we go live again. And hopefully internet will be a little bit better, but you know what? I can't control that, so I'm okay with it.
You're going to have to call your IT people. That's messed up.
I guess. Hopefully they're already watching. I don't know. All right, everybody. Have a good day.
Take it easy, guys.